Hey everybody, it's Laura, and I am here in the Edinburgh Napier Library over the holiday break. And I'm sitting in a little quiet study room while Renza, our eldest kiddo, is out in the main library writing. We've had a heck of a time the past few weeks, honestly, since we got here. We left California on St. John's Day, which is June 24th. And so that's just over 6 months ago. And since that time, we've been traveling up and down the East Coast and then made it to Edinburgh and then have been trying to settle in. But boy, it's been a challenge. It's been really intense. And that's why I've been saving this episode for this time of year. And this is the Holy Nights time of year. It's a time of contemplation. If you want more information on it, you can go back to episode 13 with Kim Marie, where she talks about the sacred nights of winter and the practices she's helped people create around this time of year. But our family, I would say our whole family, is in this time of contemplation and intention setting, and we're looking forward to the next 6 months. Now, this interview with Sarah Parks is really about disrupting materialism around legacy building and mothering. And Sarah's a Waldorf mom that I met walking back and forth to the Steiner School. And we just happened to say something about podcasting. And she has her own podcast. So we decided we would record with each other and explore a few things. And we did that in November. And her story, her spiritual experience, was about a mother and a child and how painful events can really steer us towards our destiny. And I thought, what better time than to produce this podcast and share it with all of you than this time of year when many of us are thinking about mothers and children and sacrifice and love. This is a really moving discussion, and just a sensitivity warning, it does include a loss of a child in the womb and how that loss transformed Sarah's outlook on life and moved her, and how these painful experiences move us to our destiny. So I would say it does have this, I always feel like I need to give a little bit of a warning to people because we don't know what all of us have been through. But even if you've been through something like this, the way that Sarah describes it is so beautiful and heartening and full of warmth and love that I think you'll really enjoy it. So anyway, this podcast, even though it has that sadness and peace to it, she also talks about finding ease and flow and sort of cutting through the lies we tell ourselves about moving with and going with the ease and flow that's in our life and creating a legacy for our children and breaking through the lineage, the wounds in our lineage, to make a beautiful life and an incredible legacy for our children and for those around us. So, and just a little bit more about Sarah is that she is a coach. She supports soul-led entrepreneurial parents and moms particularly, and coaches them and really loves to work with people that are interested in creating a deeply meaningful life. And she has a podcast too. It's called the Legacy Life Podcast. And she explores how to create a legacy of love and aligned leadership. And you can find her at spcoaching.co.uk. And you'll see that in the show notes too. I love this interview. I listened to the whole thing again right before I produced it, just because I wanted to be with Sarah again. And I know she's busy this time of year, and we all are too. But I think you're going to really enjoy being with her as well. Thank you again for listening and following. Please share the podcast with friends. I just hit a milestone marker with the podcast, and I'll be sharing that too with everybody. I'm just so glad to be doing this work and glad you've hung in there with me through all these changes. All right. I hope you're having a beautiful holy night and enjoy. Welcome to That Good May Become with me, Laura Scappaticci, where we learn to illuminate the esoteric in our everyday lives. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm super excited. I want to tell everyone what happened right before the podcast, because I feel like that's indicative of at least my state of being and how you help people.
Thank you. Go for it.
Okay. So we met each other at the Edinburgh Steiner School, which is super cool. And I'm going to tell everybody all the amazing work you're doing. And we bumped into each other on a walk home and I was like, oh, blah, 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 something about my podcast. And you said, oh, I have a podcast too. So then the thing that happens with moms, we're like, let's schedule it. So we did, and then I had double booked myself, and you very graciously rescheduled with me again. And then this morning, I was like, okay, wait, did I get the confirmation? I'm feeling sick. You're interviewing me on your podcast. It's going to be video. So I was like having the shakes. And so I left this message, and I was like, okay, if you block the time off, you know, like I'm like, I got to respect that time. Like, that's no joke. You know, if moms block off time, you got to show up. Like, don't waste my time, right? So you sent this message. You sent this message back to me that was so incredible. You said, and this is very powerful, that these conversations are an activation and an invocation for what's possible in life. And that really struck me and hit me. And I know that from doing the podcast, but to hear it from another really busy, active mom, to take yourself seriously and to take this work seriously and just to bring that picture in was really beautiful. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself and your work and how you even came to like bring those words to my WhatsApp message this morning when I was flaking out.
How did I come to bring those words? Do you know, it's interesting what you were saying about what I do in life. Like, the essence of what I do is I think I connect people back with the essence of life and with who they are and how they want to show up in life. So I've always been a natural catalyst, somebody who makes things happen. And for many years I've held space for others really to show up and to key back into that part of themselves really. And so I call myself a legacy coach. So I'm a parenting and legacy coach, and I love working with entrepreneurial moms, but actually soul-led entrepreneurial moms who are, you know, on a mission to bring their gifts to the world, to step into their magic, to alongside being a conscious parent. So I suppose for me, it's all about this sense of consciously creating. And we're creating all the time, whether it's conscious or not. Our legacy is happening all the time. We are creators all the time. And it's whether we're conscious of it or not. That is it, really. And one of my superpowers is this activation, actually, is helping, being a catalyst to help people, come back to and remember what they're here to do. Because I do believe that we all have gifts. We all have superpowers. We all have magic that are innately part of us. And we're at our most potent and our happiest, actually, when we're tapping into that. And and so often, you know, we can resist that because often, those things can feel easy sometimes, you know, when we're really tuned into those innate abilities. And then often we don't value those things because of this story that I nearly used a word that, you know, some people might consider to be a swear word, and which made me suddenly think, is that okay on this podcast?
Go for it.
A BS story, I was going to say.
You can
that we've got to work hard in life, right? That we've got to, if we're not working hard, then we're doing something wrong. And actually, that's a big fat lie, because when we tap into our innate abilities, often that's where the flow is, and it can be really easy, you know? So,
That's true. Yep.
I don't know how much I answered your question,
Yep, you
but
did.
that, you know, one of the things, part of what I do, and when I coach women, I do coach women around their family dynamics, their parenting, but also around that tap connecting with and tapping into those innate gifts, that purpose, what they're here to do, you know, alongside that parenting, and you know, that the conscious parenting might be what they're here to do.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's beautiful. I like how you said you're helping people remember, you know, and at least, you know, in the spiritual philosophy I'm working with, you know, that could be from past lives. Like, what are you here to do? Like, bring that thing in and bring it into the present moment. And I love this idea of flow and how it is really, you know, I think that in my life there are things that feel super easy to me and I don't consider them work, and it's actually where my work is and where my work for the world is. So that's really beautiful. Thank you.
And in that WhatsApp message, so what I often do is with people is cut through the BS, right? Cut through the lies we're telling ourselves, like, I haven't got time, it's got to be perfect, all that stuff that can come in and stop us actually showing up and doing what we're here to do. And so it's, you know, I do hold people to account as well, and just point out, it's like, no, you know, you don't have to have your hair cut, or you don't have to have your makeup on to show up on social media, or you know, no, like, people actually don't care what you look like. They're in their own world. They're thinking about what they want. They're thinking about what they need. You know, they don't care if your voice is crackly. They don't care if what you look like. What they care about is how you make them feel, how you activate them, what they're going to get from the conversation. You know, that's what people care about. You know, at Maya Angelou, there's that amazing quote, it's, people won't remember what you did, they'll remember how you made them feel, you know. That's so true.
Absolutely. Definitely. You know, I think it's sort of funny because I feel like that WhatsApp message was actually like a coaching session with you. So if that's like a small, like,
Apologies for
no. Are you kidding me? I'm so grateful. And it keeps showing up in many areas of my life right now. This, like, just do one thing, like, focus on what's ahead of you, like, what is your purpose? Like, it's just all over the place right now. So I'm gonna save that message forever. And whenever I'm like flaking out or flailing or whatever, I'm just gonna be like, I'm gonna listen to Sarah right now. I'm just gonna hit play. But well, we're here. The season I'm in that could make become is about the divine feminine and masculine. And I feel like your work as a parenting coach, I'm sure, brings a lot of that in, and energy work and heart-led business. I think it brings all the balance of all those things in. But I always ask my guests first to share a spiritual experience. So if you could share one, and we've talked about lots of different kinds of spiritual experiences on this podcast. So thank you. Thank you for bringing yours today.
Well, the one that's really alive for me at the moment is the experience, like, being very close to life and death, and yeah, feeling what it feels like to grow a person in my body, you know, and have, like, being a mother is such an incredible experience. I absolutely loved being pregnant with all of my children. I love that feeling of growing a human in your body. Isn't that amazing? I mean,
Crazy.
wow. And so as women, we have this honor, and we have this unique experience of growing a person in our bodies, and being so close to life, so close to life, and what that energetically feels like is amazing. And my journey into my yeah journey into being a parent wasn't what I expected. And the last few days and this morning, I've been thinking a lot about how often things aren't ha as you expect in life. And part of my journey into being a parent was also experiencing death in my body as well, which is, I'm sure, an experience many women also share. And a week ago, I wrote a post about this because I realized I've never really talked about it other than in private spaces. Like on the weekend, I'd been in a women's circle and I'd shared that moment when my son's soul left our bodies. So left his body and left my body. And I felt that. And I felt that mo that moment. And at the time, I didn't know that's what I was feeling. But it was, and so, having, and I think often people may be around somebody who's died, like a relative or a parent, or and you're there in the room with them, and so you experience from proximity that energy, I suppose, of that moment when their soul leaves, when their soul separates from that body, from the vehicle that we're transported around in, right? This physical body. But to have that experience from within is not an experience I would ever have put my hand up for and gone, oh, yeah, I really want to experience my child dying. Right, my baby dying. However, that experience has given me so much, actually. It's yeah, and I was really present to that over, particularly over the last few days of what how amazing is that? And I was thinking about like the that moment. I was just thinking about this yesterday, so it was interesting because I didn't know you were going to ask me this until this morning. Just yesterday, I was thinking about that moment of from him being alive or his soul being in his body to him, his soul not being in his body and him being dead, my womb. And that, and it, and it's, and how it was so simple. And like a moment by moment thing, like from being awake to being asleep, or like it's hard to describe it because like it's like trying to ex describe balance or trying to describe anything. Like you can't describe it really, but that's as close as I can come to it is, and I was thinking about how simple it is, and that there's no pain in that. There's no struggle. It's just like the moment of breathing in or breathing out, it's like a change of state, like that. And it, which is interesting because it's something that, dying is something we often fear, or we don't know how it's going to be, and all of this about it. And I was thinking yesterday, having felt that transition, that change of state inside my body, that actually I know from that experience that it's really simple, quick transition, a moment by moment transition.
I'm so glad you shared this because I think there's so many women that have experienced loss in this way, And how long ago was this for you? And then how old was he at that time? How many weeks in? 'Cause, yeah.
So he was 24 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 16 years ago. So mm-hmm. his 16th birthday on Friday.
Okay. So yeah. There's that anniversary kicking it up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I've got two anniversaries in a week. So I've got the anniversary of the day he died, which is 31st of October, which is Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Samhain.
Yes. Powerful day.
Yeah, which is incredible. And I have had thoughts over the years where I remember the moment when I thought, well, maybe he just got confused with all those souls being
right.
So maybe he just thought he was supposed to be somewhere else, you know? So it was 16 mm-hmm. years. Yeah.
So that anniversary of him leaving. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Halloween. And you said you had two anniversaries.
Yeah. So his the day he died and the mm-hmm. day he was born.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's an incredible way to look at it. Yep.
Birthday is the 4th of November.
Mm-hmm.
And very different days. Very, very different days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, I think someone once said to me about miscarriage in particular, which is different than what you experienced, but, you know, it's sex and it's death and nobody wants to talk about those two things. And, you know, and very much so with the loss of a child, people don't know how to approach it. So I think it's very helpful to others that you're bringing it in. And the way that you framed it as just this, like you said, you can't really, like, you can't describe balance or you can't. It is just this shift in a sense and a perception that, oh, there is a change that happened there. And you felt that in yourself and with him. And I think that the way that you've worked with it through your life and the way that you carry him and who he was and who he is with you is a great lesson for many people. And it's such a beautiful way to carry it. Thank you for sharing that.
I talk about legacy a lot, and you know, there are always gifts in the most difficult of experiences, you know. And my mom had twin boys before me, who died shortly after birth. And, you know, at that time, how that was dealt with was crap. It was really rubbish. Yeah. So, you know, she doesn't have any photos of them. She doesn't have any anything mm-hmm. from them. And she was just told to just forget about them and you know, have another baby as quickly as possible. It's kind of how it was dealt with at that time.
Wow.
And you know, thankfully things have changed since then, but you know, for me, I sort of feel I've done a lot of work with bereaved families. There's an organization in the UK called SANS, Stillbirth and Neonatal Death Society, and they do a lot of work around you know, bereavement care and supporting families who have experienced the death of a baby during pregnancy or shortly after. And you know, I wouldn't have done all of that. I wouldn't have, you know, applied for funding and help people share their stories, their untold stories. You know, I wouldn't have done any of that. And I wouldn't have known what death feels like. I wouldn't have known what grief feels like. Like, I had no idea about grief before I had my son, you know? And when people are grieving, like I now know what grief feels like. I didn't before. Like I couldn't have that empathy. It's like, if you're a parent and people who aren't parents haven't got a clue. They haven't got a clue. They really don't. I remember being in a shop and a girl sort of going, "Oh, I'm so tired because I was really up late." And I was just thinking, you have no idea what tired is, girl. No idea. Try not sleeping for 2.5 years and then you know what tiredness is. Like, oh my gosh, you just had a night out and you're tired. Yeah, I get it. And you haven't got a clue.
Yes, I know. No sleep for 2.5 years is very different than no sleep for one night. Yes, that's
Exactly.
very true. Not that she wasn't tired. She was tired.
Exactly. And I'm
It's
sure she
just
was tired. Absolutely.
a
And
different
but
kind
it's
of
just like
tired.
you can't know
No.
what something is like until you've experienced it. And everybody's experiences are different and and your own unique experiences. But I didn't get it because I hadn't experienced grief. I hadn't experienced the loss of somebody so close to me, before. And that's a massive gift, being able to get that is huge, being able to relate with other humans who are experiencing that is massive,
It is. And what you did with it and how you carried it to other people and helped them move through it. And you're doing that now, in your other work as well. Like, this idea of taking one's own pain or one's own insight, or as you said at the beginning, the things that come naturally to us, which, talking about grief and loss now does to you and did since that moment, become a part of you. Taking those things and bringing them into the world to share with others and to help other people in that part of your mission. So,
But there's also a lineage thing as well, like through, like my mom had never told anybody the names of my brothers. Like I didn't know they had names. I would never. I don't know. Would she ever have told anybody if I hadn't asked her what their names? Probably not. And so there's this kind of healing of my family, really, my feminine line, which I know, I'm pretty sure, a lot of my ancestors would have experienced this same pain and this same treatment of that my mum had experienced. I know, certainly my grandmother was a twin and her twin died. I know, that my great grandmother had 13 children and 9 survived. I know. So, but how you be around that or how I choose to be around that is different. Instead of it being silent and some unspoken and unacknowledged, it's, we Bwana is my son's name, and he is very much a part of our family. We light a candle for him every day. He's very much a presence and a part of our family and acknowledged in our family, which is like completely different. So I think a lot of what I do, I suppose, been doing with my life, and I support other people to do is also choose how they want to be, choose how they want to be around, different areas of their lives. And if a way of being has been passed down from previous generations, be the person to go, this stops with me. Like this shit stops with me, and that can be whatever it is for you, but this cycle breaking is part of what I do, and that's the part of the legacy work, is to and a lot of the driver behind the parenting work that I do, my parents weren't great parents. They weren't very good
Right.
parents,
Yeah.
I mean, they provided for me, and in a in you know and were there, well, partly there. I won't get into it all, but so it's like the way I parent is completely different to how, I choose to parent in the way that to be a conscious present parent, and to be conscious about how I parent. My parents were not conscious.
Right.
It was just what they did. They just did what they did, and they did the best they could do, right?
Yep.
But they were not conscious about what they were doing,
I think so many of us from I don't know how old you are, but from my generation for sure, like it definitely, I don't, do people even use that word? I mean, only hippies use the word conscious, I think, at that time. And yeah, like you said, people were doing the best they could, but to change that inheritance and to create a new legacy like that in terms of your parenting, in terms of how anything is handled, what fantastic work you're doing for others. Can I ask you, like, in terms of like divine feminine masculine, does that come into your, because like I said, you have the conscious parenting, the mindset skills and the energy work, heart-led business, how does that, where do you see that come in? As I know.
Well, no, it's so interesting because one of the things, like when the pandemic started, I really looked at what am I doing? Why am I doing it? What is behind what I'm doing? Like, why do I do what I do? Why? Basically. And I was doing a regular kind of meditation practice, and what kept coming through was to help create a legacy of feminine social change. So our children can grow up in a world where feminine and masculine qualities are equally respected and valued. That's why I'm doing what I do, is to be part of helping to readdress the balance in our world, because it's shot to pieces.
Amen.
We live in such a patriarchal world that is so masculine heavy and dominant, and so it's readdressing that, really. So that is what underpins everything, all that I'm doing, really, because it's, I suppose, playing my part in, and I mostly work with women because it's about empowering women, for me, and through empowering women, empowering men too. But it's still predominantly women who are doing the parenting. But how I set how I live my life. Like I work. My husband's a full-time dad. He does most of the cooking, he does the shopping, he does all of this stuff. And recently he was his mum came to visit, and he dropped her off to go and visit her sister. And his auntie had said to him, because he said, oh, she said, what are you up to? And he's like, I'm off to go and do the shopping. And she said, oh, well, oh, you're having to do it this time. And he's like, I do it all the time. That's my role. Like, she doesn't get it. She's in this really old, I suppose, this traditional old-fashioned
Yes.
way of thinking, oh, he's obviously helping Sarah out. But no, that he does that. When I do the shopping, it's rare, that I do the shopping because,
Right.
he's doing the cooking. So,
So that's in your
that's,
house. That's in your
yeah.
house.
That's
Yeah.
how it, that's so it kind of is in all of our life, how we live our life, what we've chosen for our children as well, and the kind of education we've chosen for them at the Steiner School here, and being there for them was a huge thing for both of us, consciously choosing to be here for them. So when your children go to a Steiner school, they're not dropped off at school from age 4 till 3:15 in the afternoon. Like, it's a gradual build up of the length of time that they're there, you know? So, and that's all part of the deal, right?
Right.
And one of the gifts from Buena is, you know, like, we've wanted to spend as much time as we can with our girls, you know, with our children. Like, they are loved and we really want them, you know. We want to drink in all that we can with them, you know. So our lives are very much built around our family, you know, and being able to spend time together and be able to give them best start in life that we can, you know, which is what all parents want, right?
Oh, they do. Absolutely. And I think, I guess my question is for you, some people, I think the balance is harder to achieve for various socioeconomic and, other pressures, crushing societal pressures. But when it gets out of balance in for the people you coach, so when you see this feminine masculine balance, like not there, or tipped one way or another, what are some of the things you ask people to explore in themselves and, in their partnerships? I would say mostly in themselves first, because I don't think anything can change in that regard with the divine feminine masculine. Like, as you're saying, your coaching practices, when you ask yourself the big why question, I think so many of us were asking during that pandemic. It was like, well, this is it. It's like I want that feminine power and wisdom to be acknowledged and accepted and, seen and embraced and equally. So what are some of the questions you ask people when they come to you and they're like, oh my God, I'm so exhausted. I'm doing everything. I can't, we're snapping at the kids, blah, 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 blah. Because to me, that's an out of balance feminine masculine situation going on there.
Totally, totally. And so, you know, I support, well, we look at how things are, we look at how they want to be, how they want them to be, and then create a pathway from one state to the other, essentially, you know. And one of the things I will ask them is what they're available for. Because, you know, there often comes a time when, particularly if women are doing everything and trying to be all things to everyone, like, they can't keep doing that, you know? It doesn't work. It doesn't work for anyone. And so for them to really ask yourself, if you're in that situation, you know, what do you actually want and what are you available for, you know? And what would having loving boundaries look like for you? You know, are a great starting point.
I like that. What are you available for? Because I think it points to what you have joy from, what you want to do. Like, there are certain things I would not want to give up, even if I am tired or exhausted. Like, I still want to read to my youngest, before they go to bed. Like, but maybe that means I'm not going to go for a walk with someone in the morning, or whatever. Like, I have to find the balance there. So what are you available for?
And you know, and that it also goes for like in terms of how you're treated, like how you treat yourself, because this is the thing, how we treat, like we train our environment and our loved ones how to treat us. That comes from us. Like, we show them how to treat us
That's like a wake-up
by
call.
what, by what we're available for, right? So if you're running around, if you never say no to anybody, and you're always available, and then you're complaining that people take the mickey out of you, you know, people are like it doesn't come from them, it comes from us. So, you know, expecting them to see that we're, you know, we're at our limit, and yet they're still asking, you know, can you go and, I don't know, can you go and get the crisps off the top shelf for me? for instance, it's like, no, get it yourself.
Right.
You know?
I know.
So it's, you know, but if you resent it and you go do it, like we do teach our partners and our children what we're available for, what we're willing to do, and how they get to treat us.
I love
Yeah, so
that
that is
because
a bit of a
it's
wake-up call. If you haven't heard that before, you might be thinking, whoa.
well, that's good because it's like you have to take responsibility for it, you know? Like, okay, wait a minute. I need to take responsibility for it. No, I'm not gonna get that thing that's right there that you can go get. This is my youngest, you know, I think because she's the youngest, pretty much, you know, we call her the queen sometimes, but like it's she'll be like, can you get that thing for me? And she'll like point to it and it's literally like 6 inches from her finger where she's pointing, you know? It's like that. Well, if I do that, what am I teaching her, you know?
What are
What
you
am I
teaching
doing
her?
myself? What am I saying to me, you know? And yeah,
Yeah.
both ways,
Yeah,
exactly. Yes.
totally. And as a woman,
Right.
what are you teaching your daughters and your sons about what it is to be a mother and a woman in this world?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, and of course, like post-pandemic, like everything has just been turned on its head. Like so many structures, so many ways of being are just like, nah, we're not doing that anymore. That's not working anymore. So,
Yeah.
okay, I want to talk about your hashtag because I really like it. Random acts of awakening. I just started following it today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
I'm rubbish at using it lately as well. I used it a lot this time last year when my book was coming out. So,
yes, the Awakening Legacy book. Yeah,
yeah.
awesome. Yeah, and I know everybody can come see you at SP, SarahParksCoaching.com, and the book and all your classes are on there and your
It's
coaching.
actually .co.uk, just
Doug
so I put
Co.
that.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Sorry, I'm in the UK.
It's okay.
spcoaching.co.uk, right?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
It'll be in the show notes too, in case people are asking. But yeah, can you talk about, you know, just to kind of conclude a little bit this random acts of awakening and any like practical, I mean, we've been talking about a lot of practical tips for people, but anything else you want to add? So.
Yeah, so it's interesting that you brought up that hashtag random acts of awakening because I realize I haven't consistently used it for a long time. So yeah, I will continue using that. But yeah, that was really about how we can touch other people's lives, how we can basically that this it's part of the remembering, I suppose. It's part of the being awake, awakening, staying awake, right? It's part of
Right.
the activation, really, and the remembering, and calling people home. That's what that's about, really.
I love that. Thank you. I'm looking forward to, you know, using it sometimes and just following what that means. Because you know, we all talk about random acts of kindness, which are awakening moments, I think. But this is nice because it can encompass so many other things. So,
It's
yeah.
not about being kind. It's it does
Yeah.
it in all sorts, really. But
Yeah.
it's that intention of keying back into the this collective awakening, I suppose, of our of our society and keying into different ways of being, really.
Super. And is there anything you want to tell anybody before we end our time together? Now I feel like when I walk to school and we pass each other, there's going to be even more going on than there was before. More karmic revelations. But anyway.
I think, I think it can sound quite a burden, this being part of global change and all of that. And actually, I think in a lot of ways it's really simple, and it's one random act of awakening, or one step at a time, yeah, it can, I think, yeah, it gets to be simple and easy. And it always starts with an intention, like the intention behind what we do or what we say, or coming back to consciously intending rather than just sleepwalking through life is huge. It makes a massive difference, bringing intention into what we do.
Sarah, thank you so much. I'm glad we fulfilled our intention together today.
Yeah.
And and I'm, looking forward to another conversation, and hopefully everybody will hop over and see all the cool stuff you're doing and tune into your podcast.
Yes.
Can you tell everybody the name of it and where they can find
So
it?
my podcast is the Legacy Life podcast, and I've done a few different series in there. The one I'm doing at the moment is called Conscious Shift, which is really a conversations with amazing people. I'm about to have one with you, who are part of this collective change, who are bringing their unique viewpoint and gifts to this global conscious shift. So that's what that conversation is about. And I've done a family legacy series, which has all kinds of different stuff in it. It has some tips around different parenting challenges, as well as all kinds in there. So yeah, yeah. So I've been doing my podcast since 2021. I think it was January that I started that. So yeah.
Super. Okay, well, thank you again. And I'm looking forward to our next conversation, which is happening in just a few minutes, actually.
Soon.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Sarah. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.